chapter 2, verse 13. We'll read through just a few verses here. Let's pray, and then we'll get started. God, we come to you tonight, and we thank you that we have the freedom to come into your house. God, your word is good, and I pray that you would help us to grow in it tonight. I pray that your Holy Spirit would just help our minds to listen to you tonight, that you would help us to pay attention and to be free of distractions and worries. God, I pray that you would be with me, that I would be able to preach and teach in a way that brings glory and honor to you, dear Lord. There is no good word I can say if you do not speak, dear Lord, through me. So I pray that you are the one who does the talking tonight, that you would lead us and just give us a good night in your word. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen.
Amen.
This is close to the beginning of Jesus' ministry when we see these events take place. When we get into the book of Mark, Mark really just kind of hits the ground running. There's a lot of these stories that Mark doesn't give a lot of details on. A lot of the things that we see in Mark chapter 1 are just very briefly gone through. Now, we see more details of these things in some of the other gospel accounts, but Mark is, of course, a much shorter book than the others, and part of that is because he doesn't go into a lot of detail. But at this point in Jesus' ministry, he has been going around and he has been doing a lot of work, a lot of casting out demons. We see toward the beginning of Mark a lot of healing the sick, and the crowds are just flocking to him as he's doing the work, and he's out and he's trying to preach and teach to people. And the people recognize that there's something different about Jesus, that he is one who preaches with authority, that not only does he preach with authority, but his very words have authority, that those who have been possessed by demons that have likely been this way for years, when Jesus comes onto the scene, he is able to free them of that instantly. And so as the crowds begin to see Jesus' preaching and the miracles that he's doing, the crowds begin to follow Jesus. And as Jesus is beginning his ministry, we see as he begins to call these different people to come alongside him. These are his disciples or his apostles. And in this passage that we read tonight, we see when Jesus called Levi or Matthew, same person, might be a different name, different books go by a different name. It's okay. We can understand. Sometimes even people we know, they may have multiple names that people know them by. And so when you hear Levi or Matthew, it's talking about the same person. Verse 13. Then Jesus went out again beside the sea. The whole crowd was coming to him, and he taught them. Then moving on, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." So he got up and followed him. Now, Jesus had a similar experience when he called Simon Peter. He called Simon Peter and Andrew, and he told them the same thing. "Y'all follow me, James and John. Y'all come on and follow me." And Mark doesn't give many details other than that they followed him, that they left their livelihoods behind, that they left their fishing boats behind, or in this case, their job at the tax office behind, and followed Jesus. Now, I believe that Jesus knew what he was doing here. Now, we don't know much about Matthew, but we know that Jesus called him, so there's a pretty good chance that Matthew was a godly man. But there was another issue with Matthew that was a big issue, and that was that Matthew was a tax collector. Now, notice when Jesus picks his disciples, when you read through the Bible, Jesus doesn't go to the synagogue and pick the chief priest. He doesn't pick the highest officials and the authorities within the synagogue. Instead, Jesus picks normal people. He picks fishermen and he picks tax collectors. And of all the people to pick, why would you pick a tax collector? Now, tax collectors were not very liked. And even we can relate to that today. Show of hands, does anybody in here enjoy paying taxes to the IRS? Raise your hand. We have one person that enjoys paying taxes.
Did you?
I don't. Oh, you don't? Oh, okay, you don't.
You raised your hand, so I figured that was what I was supposed to do.
Let's try this again. If you enjoy paying taxes to the IRS, raise your hand high. All right, there for everybody listening online, there's no hands raised this time. We don't like paying taxes. Even if the IRS agents that we know are the most friendly, nicest Christian people in the world, we don't want to pay taxes. But the problem is, especially when we look at these tax collectors in the Bible, is that they weren't always the best guys. They did a job that nobody liked, which was bad enough. But then on top of that, they would take a little off the top. So it would be something like this. So Rome would say, you need to collect 100 people, $100 from every person and bring back to us. And so it's the tax collector's responsibility to make sure that they bring back $100 from every person. But the tax collector, as long as he got $100, well, if he got a little extra, guess whose pocket that went into? That went into his pocket. So if he can get $120 from everybody, he gets $20 from everybody he collects taxes from. So he goes to you and he says, hey, your taxes are $120. And he pockets the $20 and he gives the $100 to Rome. And Rome doesn't really care as long as they get their share. They don't really care about what the tax collector's doing. And so tax collectors did not have a very good reputation because they were known for cheating people. You may recall the story of Nicodemus. Zacchaeus, the wee little man who wanted to see Jesus and he was too short and he climbed up a tree. He was the chief tax collector. And when he had this encounter with Jesus, and Jesus obviously changed his heart, and he said, I'll give away half of what I own, and if I've defrauded anyone, I'll pay back four times what I've taken from them. And so tax collectors weren't really the best of people. And of all the people for Jesus to pick to serve, to be one of his 12. I mean, these were the guys that Jesus was going to pour into, to really teach them, to really lead them, to really show them the example, so that when he was gone, it was going to be their job to lead other people toward Jesus, to make sure the gospel was going to hit the ground running. These are the people that Jesus picked, and one of them was a tax collector. Now, Jesus was probably somewhat strategic in doing this. Jesus probably didn't do this by coincidence. Perhaps Jesus did this to remind us that the kingdom of God is for everybody. The kingdom of God is not made up of the religious. The kingdom of God is made up of the righteous. The kingdom of God is made up of those who have faith in Him, who come from all walks of life, whether Jew, whether Gentile, whether priest, whether tax collector, whoever you may be. The determining factor is not your job. The determining factor is, do you have faith in Jesus Christ? And when He comes, and when we hear of Jesus Christ, and we know of Jesus Christ, and the words of Scripture, and the Holy Spirit says, follow me, do we get up and follow Jesus? Now, the apostles did. We see here that Matthew did. Maybe sometimes we do, maybe sometimes we don't. Maybe there are some things that Jesus calls us to and we get up and we're ready to go. Maybe there are other things and we kind of drag our feet. We're not quite so excited to get up and follow Jesus. But Matthew did. And praise the Lord that Jesus uses ordinary people. That's good news for us, that we don't have to be anything spectacular, because we are not. But Jesus is spectacular, and our faith in Him is what allows Jesus to do a mighty work in us, not on our own because of who we are, but because of who He is. And so in verse 15, while He was reclining at the table in Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were also guests with Jesus and His disciples, because there were many who were following Him. So not only did He get Matthew to follow Him here, but it appears as though He goes back to Matthew's house, and there in Matthew's house would have been the people that Matthew would have typically hung out with, which would have been other tax collectors, and it says sinners here. It doesn't specify what these sinners were, but the sinners that's being talked about here, we see in the verses to come that it's the religious group, the Pharisees and the scribes of the Pharisees, that call out these sinners. So whatever they did, no matter how bad it may or may not have been, they were certainly labeled by these Pharisees as sinners. And here Jesus is, the Son of God. He's going around and he's doing all these wonderful things, but there's a certain group of people, a lot of the religious crowd are just really having a hard time accepting Jesus. And this didn't help any. When Jesus called Matthew to follow him, and then Jesus, who was coming and preaching and doing all these things in the name of God, when Jesus went before these tax collectors and sinners, well, this was a big problem for the religious crowd. Obviously, we learn a little bit about them and that they probably didn't go to this crowd. They had issue with this crowd. That's what we see in the next verse, verse 16. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" So they took some offense to this. Now, they themselves should have been trying to reach these same people. They should have been telling them about the Word of God. They should have been a good example to them. But it appears as though they were keeping their distance from them. And they were offended that Jesus would associate with such people. Obviously, this religious group, these scribes of the Pharisees, and in other gospel accounts, it mentions the Pharisees themselves, obviously, they didn't like what Jesus was doing here. And so they questioned the disciples. Why is Jesus doing this? Why is he eating with this filth? Why is he associating with these people, these lowly people? The religious people must have had a little higher view of themselves than they should have. And that's a real problem with religion that we have to be on guard for. Sometimes we can fall into that trap. We can fall into that holier-than-thou trap. Boy, we think we're doing good, and it's so easy for us to look at other people, and we think we are all that and a bag of chips and all these other poor sinners and tax collectors and all this riffraff. We don't want to have anything to do with them, and we have to be careful because these are the very people that Jesus calls us to minister to. And Jesus says so in the next verse. Verse 17, when Jesus heard this, he told them, "Those who are well don't need a doctor, but the sick do need one. I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners." Now, isn't that a beautiful, simple thing that Jesus lays out? Jesus says, these people are lost. These people don't know God. The Pharisees, at the very least, they knew of God. Perhaps some of them genuinely did follow God and seek to follow His will and live according to His Word. But as we see throughout the life of Jesus, there were plenty of them that didn't too. There were plenty of them that headed up the group that was going to get Jesus nailed to the cross. So they knew about God, but there were plenty of them who didn't know God. But at least the Jews had some exposure to the Word. At least they had exposure to the Old Testament. The Gentiles, they didn't grow up following the Word of God, hearing the Word of God. Maybe they had heard some here and there. But Jesus says, these people, these sinners as you call them, these tax collectors, the ones that you don't want to spend any time associating with, these are the people who are sick. That's how Jesus refers to them. He said, they are sick. Now, when you and I get sick, where do we go? We go to the doctor's office. We go to the hospital. Why? Because that's where the doctors are. When I get sick, I don't go to the Tasty Freeze. Why? Because it's just some people up there and they make a good hamburger and they make a good milkshake and I like going there, but I don't go there when I get sick. When I get sick, I don't go to the bowling alley. When I get sick, I go to the doctor. I go to the hospital. Why? Because that's where the doctor is. And sick people go to the doctor. So Jesus said, look, I go to these people because the sick people need a doctor. And he continues on, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus acknowledged that there were some who were righteous. There were some who were doing right. There were certainly some who were self-righteous, who thought they were doing right. There were others who really were righteous and really were seeking God. And Jesus said, this group knows. They know the Word of God. They know the commands of God. But it's my job to go out here and reach the lost. And this has not changed for you and I today. This example that Jesus gives us has not changed. We are called to reach the lost. Now, it is good. It is so good. We come together as brothers and sisters in Christ. We come together and we have Eatons and we have all these get-togethers. And a lot of times at our get-togethers, it might be predominantly brothers and sisters in Christ, or maybe 100% brothers and sisters in Christ sometimes. And there may not be any lost people in the bunch. And that's good that we do those things. It's good that we associate and we praise God together. But our real mission, our real call, is that we get out among the sinners and the tax collectors. The people that we really don't want to go see. Now, there's some people that we say, oh, yeah, I'll go talk to them. They're not a believer, but they're okay. I don't mind going to talk to them. But what we really need to think about is you need to think for a second and think about that person that you really don't want to go talk to. That person that's pretty bad and pretty nasty and pretty dirty and pretty sinful. The ones you really don't want to go talk to, well, those are the ones that's being talked about here. Those are the people that we need to try to reach. Those are the ones that we can make all kinds of excuses as to why we don't want to go see them or why we don't want to associate with them. But Jesus says in Matthew chapter 18, when he's talking about dealing with a brother that sins against you, he says, go to him. If he still won't listen, take another and go to him. And you present it before the church. And Jesus says something interesting there. He says, if this person refuses to listen and repent of their sinfulness, he says to treat them like an unbeliever and a tax collector. Now, isn't that interesting? Jesus says one who professes to be a brother but continues to live in sin, he says treat them like a tax collector. Why is that? Because the tax collector, in this case, kind of using the same idea here, is one who is sinful, one who needs to hear the good news, one who needs to be taught what is right. And that's what Jesus calls us to do. If there's a brother who strays, then, hey, we need to treat them like an unbeliever and a tax collector. We want to tell them the truth of the gospel. We want to say, hey, you're sick. I want to show you who the doctor is. When we encounter people on the street or friends or family or whoever it may be, we want to be those who say, look, I want to teach you and preach to you and show you the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus calls us to do. We do that in a variety of ways. It may not always be words we say. It's not like we have to sit down and preach a sermon to everybody that we see, but our very actions may be enough to lead someone to Christ. The love that we show, the compassion that we show, you never know the little actions that you do, what kind of difference they're going to make in people's lives. And so Jesus says, this is what I've come for. I've come to reach the lost. I've come to reach the sick. And Jesus didn't shy away from that. Yeah, he spent time in the synagogues. He spent time with the religious people. And some of them got it and some of them didn't get it. But Jesus said, look, I've come to do the work of the Father. I've come to teach people the truth. And I have come to save sinners. And praise God for you and I that he did. Because that's us. Praise God that Jesus came to our table when we were nothing more than a bunch of sinners, just like those tax collectors. And that Jesus chooses us, not because we're awesome, not because we're so amazing, not because he looks at us and be like, man, you are such a godly person, I'm going to pick you. He picks us in spite of us. He picks us if we just have faith, if we're just willing when he comes and says, follow me, if we are just willing, he picks us and he makes us into the men and the women that he wants us to be to follow his example. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your good word, and I pray that you would help us, dear Lord, not to fall into that trap to think we are ever holier than thou, dear Lord. We want to try to be obedient to you and follow your word and follow your example, dear Lord, and listen to you. And sometimes maybe we do a better job of that than others. But dear Lord, we never want to think that we're better than anyone else, dear Lord. We are sinners and tax collectors in this room tonight, dear Lord. But we thank you that Jesus came to die for us. We thank you that Jesus calls us tonight, just as he called his disciples all those years ago, dear Lord, through your word, through the Holy Spirit. Jesus still calls to us today if we would just follow him. And I pray that we would, dear Lord. I pray that we would follow him. I pray that we'd follow every example, even when it means going to reach to those that may be tough. It may be hard for us to want to want to go out to some people, dear Lord, but let us not turn a blind eye to them. But let us be faithful to love others just as Jesus has loved us. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.